And Jesus, hearing this, marveled and said to them that followed him, Amen, I say to you, I have not found so great faith in Israel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Among the sick and the elderly people whom we visit from here at St. Gertrude's, there is a man, an elderly man named Paul, and he is at the same nursing home where Kim LeBlanc was before he passed away this just last week. His story is an interesting one. I thought I would tell it to you, of how he kept the faith despite Vatican II and all that it has destroyed. He was in the military. This was just around the time of Vatican II, the beginning of it. He was in the military and was sent overseas to Saudi Arabia. And over there, they did not have a priest, nor did they have a Catholic church, let alone the Mass. And for all those years, all he could do was say his prayers. It was a Muslim country. So he could say his devotional prayers and read from his missal. And when the computers were able to do these sorts of things, he would type in Catholic Mass, and nothing would come up. It was blocked. You were not allowed to look at anything Catholic in that country, he tells us. But there was one key word that he would type in, and it would get through the system. It would sneak through, traditional Latin Mass. And he would then watch this old Latin Mass that we have here at St. Gertrude's. He was over there for 30 years in doing this. And when he finally came back to his home here in the United States, everything was changed. He had been away that long that he had not known of all that Vatican II had done to the Mass, to the faith. And when he came back, he detested the changes in the Mass. He hated the Mass facing the people and Mass in English. And he certainly did not favor the new faith and teachings that Vatican II had begun to teach. And that's when he found us. A little bit of time in the nursing home, for many years actually, for quite some time anyway, he was in the same building as Kim LeBlanc, whom we had visited and brought the sacraments to for a long time, only Paul was on the other side of the building. And he happened to see us come in one day and had the Novus Ordo ladies that come in and bring their wafers to the people. Believe it or not, he sent them over to get me and walk me back to his room. And there we had a nice conversation and explained the changes and everything. And he understood it all. And now we're bringing him the sacraments on a regular basis. What a beautiful story that kind of connects with today's gospel. I have not found so great faith in all of Israel. What is this faith of ours, to which men like Paul have held on to all these years of Vatican II? What is this faith that for which many souls have died, have shed their blood for? What is this faith for which many of you have to suffer, not to the point of bloodshed, but to the point of being criticized by your friends and by being kicked out of your own home, basically, and losing your relationships with your family, your parents, perhaps, and your children, your siblings? What is this faith? Well, I won't bother with any theological definition, but listen to St. Augustine, one of the great fathers of the church. He says, faith is to believe what you do not see. It's that simple. And there are a few points I want to talk about today concerning this virtue of faith. Faith enables us to save our soul. It's an obvious point. St. Paul says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder to them that seek him. And St. John the Apostle tells us, he that believeth in him is not judged, but he that doth not believe is already judged. And our Lord himself tells us, go ye into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Without faith, therefore, it's impossible to perform works. But we who have the faith, we are enabled thereby to perform works that are meritorious of an eternal reward. The Council of Trent tells us that. It says, faith is the beginning, the basis, and the root of all justification. And by that fact, it is the beginning, the basis, and the root of all holiness. If one does not have a deep faith, he will not, even if he could, make any progress in the spiritual life of virtue. Think of a child whom you tell to do some task that he doesn't want to do. He doesn't see any reason for doing it. He doesn't understand the motives why he should do it. It's hard to get him to do it, isn't it? Or think of an adult who's grown up a Catholic, even a long-time Catholic, who doesn't understand why Mass on Sunday, or why we have to fast in Lent. All of those duties, when we don't understand the motives that make us do them, if we don't understand them, then all of these duties become a burden, very difficult to perform, and that's why so many people eventually give up practicing their faith. They don't understand the motives. They don't know their faith. But those who have a good grasp on their holy faith know all the motives and the reasons behind why we do the things that we do. And that's why there are saints. These were men and women, even children, that were convinced of their faith. To them, their faith was not just an opinion. It was not some internal feeling by which you have an encounter with God. It was none of that. It was faith. It was a conviction based all upon the authority of God, who is truth itself, and who can neither deceive nor be deceived. And this faith made them do such wonderful things. They were able to undergo the worst pains, be they physical ones or spiritual, maybe psychological or even emotional pains, because they could see behind everything, behind every incident that ever occurred in their life, the hand of God. Their eyes of faith were open to that fact, that God is in charge and guides all things. The saints were able to perform the hardest penances and choose the most repugnant types of work because the virtue of faith showed them the reward that would await them in the next life. Think of St. Paul today, whom we honor, the greatest missionary of all times. How great must his faith have been to do the works that he did. Think of the many miles he must have traveled. He tells us in one of his epistles that he writes to his disciples, he tells us the many sufferings he endured just to spread the faith. 3 times was he shipwrecked, he says. 1 he was stoned. 5 he was scourged, even unto blood. He had to escape his enemies by a basket let down through a window. And there were the perils from his own people and from the Gentiles and all of the other things that he had to endure. How great must have been his faith to give him the motives to endure it all for love of God. Or turn back to the Middle Ages. Look at all the cathedrals and the basilicas that were built in that time. That's a sign of their faith, the great faith that they had in their hearts. Look at the other missionaries that gave up their home and their families and move far away to bring the faith to others. Only those with a strong faith will have the strength to do that. Or look at the many priests or religious that leave everything just to serve God in a hidden way. Only faith will cause someone to do that. And then, just turning to a more simple, practical thing, the Holy Mass. You see how so many saints in the past were so devoted to their Mass. Kings who were in charge of whole countries, mothers who had several children to tend to, fathers who had a hard day's work, only to come home and deal with family issues, even popes who were not in charge of just one city or one country, but the whole world, and has to answer for every soul that exists during his reign, they would all make time for Holy Mass, and even several Masses, many of them. Why? Because faith told them it was more than just a ceremony, it was more than just prayer, it was Calvary redone. Another point, if we already, we understand that this life is a miserable one, truly a veil of tears, think what it would be like if you didn't have the virtue of faith. How miserable then would it be? Saint Thérèse of Lisieux paints a good picture of this. Remember, she had not only tuberculosis, but she was also enduring very severe temptations toward the end of her life. Temptations to doubt that there was even a heaven, and that all that she endured, her sufferings and all the other good works that she did, would be in vain. There would be no reward for them. That's what she was tempted to. She says, on one occasion, she opens her heart and says this, "I get tired of darkness all around me. The darkness itself seems to borrow from the sinners who live in it the gift of speech. And I hear its mocking accents. It's all a dream, this talk of a heavenly country, of a God who made it all, who is to be your possession in eternity." "All right," the voice continues in her head, "go on longing for death. But death will make nonsense of your hopes. It will only mean a night darker than ever, the night of mere non-existence." And so terrible were her sufferings that she said if she didn't possess the virtue of faith, she would have committed suicide because there was so much to endure. Well, this life of ours truly offers us more bitter moments than it does sweet. It's a long series of trials and difficulties, of sorrows and losses and pains. And if we didn't have the faith, they would destroy us. We'd lose our soul because we just give up in despair of all of the sufferings. But all of these sufferings are simply a test of our faith, a test in which God asks you this question. You say you believe in me, but how deep is this belief? And then he sends you sufferings and crosses to see in practice how deep is your faith. But what of this faith in eternity? What happens to it? St. Paul tells us that it ceases to exist, this virtue. Go back to the definition of St. Augustine on faith. Faith is to believe in those things that you do not see. Faith is turned into vision in the next life. Here we believe in what we don't see. There we see what we have always believed. On earth, we see all things through a glass in a dark manner, but in heaven, all the veils will be removed, and there is God face to face as he is. No more shadows, no more images, no more veils. It's God. And on earth, we live in a veil of tears in which all these veils have to be removed so that we see the hand of God behind everything that happens. But in heaven, when we see everything, the reason behind everything, then we'll also realize the truth of this statement in Scripture, that God will wipe away all tears from our eyes, and death shall be no more, nor mourning, nor crying, nor sorrows shall be any more, for the former things are passed away. On earth, pleasure is always followed by sorrow. But in heaven, this is the reality of it. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what things God has prepared for them that love him. Right now, all of this we only see by faith. But then, when faith ceases to exist and turns into vision, we'll see all things clearly. But one final thought to conclude. This faith to which men like Paul, that I mentioned at the beginning of the sermon, and people like you have held on to for all these years, despite all the trials that have come your way as a result, this same faith is what the devils and what the whole world seeks to take away from you. They all seek to push you down and to rip it right out of your soul. Why? Because the devils and the world, well, they know that those who have the faith stand a pretty good chance of saving their souls. And without it, they lose sight of why they're here. They don't know, they don't understand why so many terrible things happen in this life. They lose sight of everything when they lose the faith. We have to preserve it in our souls. Well, how do we do this? Obviously, by assistance at the Mass, the reception of the sacraments, and prayer, always asking for a deeper and deeper faith. Then there's vigilance, especially of parents toward their children. Watch over their company. Watch over the things that you bring into the house through television or radio, your conversation, and the like. But something else practical that I think gets neglected quite a bit. How about the study of the faith? How many of you actually remember to open up a catechism book and review your faith so that it grows deeper and deeper in your souls? It's a good way to keep hold of your faith. So let us today then ask St. Paul the Apostle to give us all a deeper understanding of our faith, and always to hold on to it, especially in those moments when sorrow comes into our life. Remember that this faith, if we follow it, will eventually turn into vision and possession for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.